T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No, Football Friday guest every week is John Clayton, the professor, now with ClaytonFootball.com, and he joins John and Ike. Hello, Professor.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Well, coming off a loss to the Cowboys and 4-5. John, let me ask you this. Something that we were kind of talking about behind the scenes. But so the Eagles' 4-5 struggle, certainly not over. You have the East not being good. A couple of wins down the stretch, and you beat the Redskins twice. Maybe they can still even win this division with 7 losses. But when you look at the Eagles moving forward, and their cap situation, the fact they have an aging roster, they don't have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. How do you view this team going forward past 2018?
Well, I mean, there's going to be some casualties. There's no question about it because, they had to clear some room just in case they had the trade. And so they're sitting about, $7.5 million of cap room right now. But it's going to be a little bit tougher because, you just can't keep everybody. But the big thing is what Howie Roseman is able to do, because he's so good with the cap, is he'll find ways to get room. And, I think there'll probably be, more damage, I think, on defense. I mean, you would have to think this could be the last year for Jason Peters, and so that would clear out a lot of room. I mean, there's enough maneuvering, but the key is when you have a young quarterback like Carson Wentz, and you basically have him for top backup money, like $7.5 million. I mean, you can still build around and have flexibility. So the window's still there. It's just a matter of getting a better performance, and then still adding some more pieces, particularly maybe a wide receiver and running back.
Yeah, I would imagine teams moving forward, John, when they look at how you build teams and where you sort of allocate money, I would think a lot of it's going to go on that offensive side of the football. I was wondering this, right? And not because of the Le'Veon Bell situation, but more because of how offenses are so prominent in this league now, and scoring is going to be such a priority moving forward. Does it change the perception of how running backs are viewed now? Like, where it used to seem as if it was like a throwaway position, you can find one anywhere. Having that extra element as a special guy, Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, that type of player, does that change the perception of running backs moving forward?
To a small degree, but you're still not talking about all teams going to kick in on running backs, because what do you have really about maybe 10 or 11 that can be every down back, and the every down back is going to be the one that's going to be rewarded. But it's just been an unusual crop that's come through the last couple of years that have been that good. I mean, Todd Gurley has been one of the best backs to hit the league in years, and then you've got Melvin Gordon and guys like that. They're all going to get paid, and Gurley's already been paid. But again, there's only going to be about less than a dozen that'll get paid, but ultimately, you're still going to hold money back from the running back, because at least the teams still take the tack. You almost want a committee, because in case one back gets hurt, then you can rely on the other guy. So you want the one guy who can run and catch. You want the one guy who can be the first down guy, what they have pretty much down in New Orleans, with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. But at some point, when Kamara starts getting to the point where, he's got to get a contract, then the other guy is going to go. So that's just the ebb and flow. But, running backs are kind of like safeties. They don't get the brunt of the good money. That's still going to go to the wide receivers, the defensive ends, the cornerbacks, quarterbacks. They're the ones that are going to get the money, and the pass rushers.
I'm telling you, if I were a running back, I would make the argument, John, that wide receivers should be dropped down in that pecking order, just because today's running backs, they're more than just rushers.
They're wide receivers.
They're receivers. Like a Christian McCaffrey, if I'm a Christian McCaffrey, you can't pay me just on rushing attempts, because look how many balls I catch for you out of the backfield.
No question about it, but then that's kind of the strategy that Le'Veon Bell did in a sense of saying, hey, I'm an 80-catch guy. I'm like a wide receiver. Pay me like Antonio Brown. And you saw where they got him, $14.5 million of money that's not paid.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, those running backs, boy, they got it tough, man, I'm telling you.
They do. And then the other bad part about it is their careers are usually going to be shorter. Mm-hmm. Because what you're talking about is the second contract. because once you get to the third contract, then things get very, very tough.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you're 29, 30. I mean, you know, you're lucky to squeeze out a $4 or $5 million deal, at least under the current market, where at least you know you're going to have some guys that are the top of the league and doing the best as far as a running back position. They now can get 13 or 14 mil.
Yeah, talking to the Professor John Clayton here of ClaytonFootball.com, and we'll see from John what he's got cooking on his site today. But, you know, John, do you give the Eagles more than a puncher's chance? Because, I mean, let's face it, in the NFL, we see this happen all the time. Week to week, stuff happens. The Saints, as good as they looked last week, as bad as the Eagles looked against the Cowboys, it's the next week. The Saints are feeling like they're great. The Eagles, they go down there and they beat them. Other than that puncher's chance, how do you make a case for the Eagles winning on Sunday?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the fact that it's desperation. I mean, there's more urgency right now for the Eagles because a loss really doesn't seal their fate, but it's almost like an elimination type of thing because now they're dropping too far down. And, you know, when you have such separation because you have the haves and the have-nots in the league and the have-nots make the haves get more wins, and, you know, does it take the wild card up to 10? Does it take the division? I mean, again, the tough part for the Eagles now is that the Redskins have an easy closing schedule. You know, once they get through this game against Washington, the Washington-Houston game, I don't know if the Redskins even play a winning team. I mean, they've got one of the top three easy closing schedules in football. But no, I think that they have a puncher's chance because I think that you know that, you know, you can score points on the Saints. You know, they're amazing in scoring 35 points a game, but they give up 27. And at some point, that does catch up to you.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know 27.
That's another stat for our guy out there,
man,
right?
Yeah. I feel better, John, about the game Sunday. Right. They give up 27.
Yeah, write that one down, Ben. We'll use that. Hey, John, let's switch to last night. And Mike McCarthy now, his seat is hot, man. He's on the hot seat. Oh. And when you have a quarterback that's as talented as Aaron Rodgers, and they haven't been back to the Super Bowl, they really haven't been that close to getting back to a Super Bowl. But last night, in a game that you really need to win, he punts on a 4th-and-2. And, you know, you're in your own territory. There's 4 minutes left. I actually think that while I would have went for it, it's being maybe overblown a little bit. But how hot is his seat? And if he doesn't make the playoffs, could Aaron Rodgers have a new coach next year?
I think the odds favor that. I mean, it's almost you can see it coming. You can see the frustration. Because, again, I'm on the field and I'm watching Aaron, and I can just see his frustration when they didn't go for the 4th-and-2. And really, he should have gone to the 4th-and-2 because, you know, they didn't get the ball back. But also, you have to look at the collateral damage they had on defense. Now, here's a Seattle team that ran for 173 yards and was really starting to beat up their defense and the defensive line. All right, so now they're down two defense, or they came into the game down three starters on defense. So attrition was going there. Then, of course, they lose two more defensive backs at least in the first half with injuries, and they didn't come back. And then once Mike Daniels, their best defensive lineman, went down in the third quarter with a foot injury, they were down to 4 defensive linemen. And so you know there was not going to be any rotation. If Seattle would be able to pound the ball on long drives, you knew they were going to tire out. And then to make matters worse, in the fourth quarter, Kenny Clark gets hurt. Now, he was able to come back, but he wasn't 100%. And so now you knew you had a defense that couldn't stop the run because of either fatigue or attrition. And so because of that, I think you had to take the tack. It's like, okay, I think we can't rely on this defense with all the injuries. Let's rely on Aaron Rodgers to try to do it, which would have been the smarter thing.
Yeah, and even if you don't get it and they only kick a field goal, you're still only down 6. And Aaron Rodgers has shown if you give him 40 seconds,
oh yeah,
he can win a game. So it's... You know, it's tough. Any thoughts who might like that job, who's out there that might like that job, with direction the Packers could go if it does happen?
Well, see, this is where the danger is, because, you know, if you're firing Mike McCarthy and you have Aaron Rodgers now on a contract extension, you got to bring in an offensive guy. So now the question is, are you better off with John DeFilippo? Are you better off with Matt LaFleur? LaFleur being, of course, the Tennessee offensive coordinator. You know, what offensive coach do you hire, or do you go into college for the Riley Lincolns and guys like that? And so I think they're in a tough spot right now, because I don't know if they can come out with a better coach than Mike McCarthy, but I think it's inevitable that if they don't make the playoffs, and right now they're all but dead, you know, there's going to be a coaching change there.
Yep. The Professor, John, what do you got on Clayton football this afternoon?
Well, the big thing is, you know, David Chow is going to give his injury report. We get great stuff, of course, from Joel Corey. Our gambling insider gives you some real good stuff. I'm waiting to see which more offensive lineman goes down, because, you know, Max Garcia became the third offensive lineman to go down for the Denver Broncos. And so I wanted to try to look and see the collateral damage on offensive line injuries this year, which is getting worse and worse and worse.
LeightonFootball.com, a great resource if you're a football fan. John, thanks, man. We'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he is, the professor, John Clayton. Yeah, he does sidelines for the Seahawks. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So he was working that last night.
It's a great game last night.
Great game.
Yeah. It's funny because Green Bay clearly won the first half, and then Seattle won the second half.
Well, even if 14-3, you felt like the Seahawks were playing better than 14-3
right.
early. And but it's kind of like, eh, you let them stick around in the third quarter.
Well, it's funny. I'm looking at that game last night, right? And I got to thinking about all of the people who want Doug to run the ball more, and we know it's a passing league. Well, Seattle is like the one team in the league that is committed wholeheartedly to running the football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are the number one rushing team in the league. And they run.
And that's not Russell Wilson running the ball.
No, that's
he doesn't really run it anymore.
Exactly. Those are the actual running backs running the football. And you saw him do it again last night. But the funny thing is, as much success as they've had at running the football, they're 5-5.
You got to run the football in the National Football League.
So, you know, I just said that to say that eventually you're going to have to throw the ball. And that's really how Seattle won the game last night.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
He started throwing the ball.
He got it done.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I think Jimmy Graham had a bad injury last night, too.
I think he broke his thumb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a week-to-week thing, I don't think. We'll see.
Dude stays hurt.
It's good, too. He's always hurt.
Yeah.
No, he's always. That's why when they got him, it's just like, all right, yeah, I mean, he's good, but what is he really, what has he done since the run in Nollins?
Yeah, McCartney, you got to go for that on fourth down, man.
Yeah.
You got Aaron Rodgers out there. Go for it on fourth down.
Well, didn't they punt it? It was a touchback, right?
No, they punt it, and they never got the ball back.
No, but didn't on the punt, they punted, and I don't know. I was just thinking back to the punt where I think it was a touchback that he actually had a booming punt. But no, I mean, like when you have one timeout left and you're only down 3 points.
Yeah.
And you have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
And you're on the road.
Dude, you're four and one. Yeah.
You're playing scared. No, he's coaching scared.
Exactly. What are you doing? You trying to win the game on the road or not?
Let's go to John in Wynwood. Hi, John.
Johnny Marks, I love you because you tell the truth. You guys together in the afternoon, it's absolutely the best. I mean, it's just good radio.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Nobody wants to hear the message is, I love Carson Wentz, but he doesn't get the job done. Like if you played a game and you played great for three quarters, mm-hmm. and then in the fourth quarter you didn't show up and your team lost, that's got to account for something. It doesn't matter how many sacks you had, didn't matter how many hurries you had.
Sure
it only
does.
Matters if you win the game in the end. And I know he doesn't have a great offensive line, but great quarterbacks figure that out.
No, sure it does. See, it doesn't matter when you don't want any type of explanation. When all you want is the result to matter. I mean, as far as being a W. Sure it matters. It matters how you arrived at a loss. So you can't automatically say this falls at the feet of Carson Wentz. You can't automatically say if they lose a game, Carson Wentz didn't find a way to pull the game out for them.
Not every game.
So it's on him.
Well, I mean, we'll go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, you look at the three plays that always stick out in my mind
mm-hmm.
were, of course, Philly, and that's maybe overhyped, but that was great. It was Brandon's strip sack, which was amazing,
mm-hmm.
and it was Malcolm's hit and knocked the running back out of the game. And so two of those were defensive plays. So I know that you just can't hang your hat on the quarterback all the time. But when no one else is coming up big, I just think a great quarterback figures out that I got to carry the team and figure out a way to win.
Well, let me ask you this about great quarterbacks. We like to throw terms around because that's what we do in sports. A lot of these things are just terms that are being thrown around. Great quarterback, elite quarterback, however you want to classify it. It's just a term that's being thrown around. And the really to have any type of definitive statement or classification on Carson Wentz and where he stands as a quarterback after 2.5 years, like, I don't know how you can go, if you're going to go with any type of statement, how can it be anything other than positive? after 2.5 years. The guy's been in the league for 2.5 years, and his team has won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen for every quarterback. That doesn't happen for every quarterback. So while we know there are certain areas he can improve upon, that's why no one harps on it, because we know he's still early in his career and he has plenty of time to improve upon that stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.